US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Made out of wood, espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've gotta get back up to that Sugar Shack. Whoa, baby, to that Sugar Shack.
Now, how's that for starting off the show with a fun, uplifting bit of music? Sugar Shack by Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, the number one song for all of 1963. And I'll tell you what, folks, if we could go back to 1963, that'd be all right with me. In fact, if we could really turn back the clock until about January 1st, 1954, just push the reset button, we'll all go back there together. A lot of America's problems would be solved. A much better country, a totally different country, and better in every possible way. But we're doing what we can with what we've got. Welcome back to the program tonight. This is James Edwards and the Political Cesspool. It is Saturday evening, September the 12th. You know, every week, every month, every season, we're here with you. On Saturday night, it doesn't matter. We stay lit. And I hope that you, I know you appreciate that as much as I appreciate being able to make that claim. It is an honor to serve with you, to fight for you. And here we are and ready to go again. And we're going to have a fun time tonight. In fact, since we were last together on Saturday night, I have been all over the place. I returned home late Thursday from a mini tour of the Northeast. I made stops for private events in Baltimore and Philadelphia and Portland, Maine. Had never been to Maine before, one of the few states I hadn't visited. And while there, I had a couple of days of downtime and did a little sightseeing. Folks, do yourself a favor. Go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You have got to lay eyes on this picture I took of this lighthouse in Portland, Maine. You know, I'm not a photographer, and I don't have an active interest in it. I mean, I take pictures with my phone, you know, when I'm somewhere. Or whatever, like everybody, but I'm not a professional. This thing looks like a postcard. I was very proud of it. I got to send it to the chief Art Frith, who does dabble in photography. But I was excited about that. Enjoyed being able to go up there and meet and greet folks, take in some of that spectacular scenery. But at the end of the day, however, there was no mistaking that I was away from home. And when my flight started its descent to Memphis on Thursday, it felt so nice, so good to be back in the South. And it's great to be here with you this evening. I was up there at the hotel in Portland, and the news was on. I was down there in the lobby, and some of the people there, obviously from the Northeast, had, you know, they were talking about Hillary Clinton and how this is just a travesty that they're going after Hillary. She did nothing wrong. And they were talking about how, well, Obama had to, CNN was playing in the hotel lobby there. Obama has to do what he's doing because they would just block him if he didn't, as if he's some courageous champion instead of just a thug, a constitutional criminal. And of course, they were singing the praises of Bernie Sanders. Now, come back here. I was having lunch today and struck up a conversation with a couple from Mississippi, from Macomb, Mississippi, a little bit south of Jackson. And man, we were just singing the same tune. It is a different culture. And I know we got fans up in Maine. There's people on the mailing list from Maine. We got people all over the place. I love them. You know, we're all one in the political cesspool. But it was great to get back home. Hey, very quickly, before we get down to business tonight, a few shout-outs, you know, just to give you an idea of how widespread the fandom of this radio program is as we continue to grow and continue to score victories. You know, every night we're on the radio, it's really a substantial victory for the truth. And, you know, our third quarter fundraising drive is approaching full tilt. So we need your help, folks. We're on the way, but we got a long way still to go if we're going to make the budget for the next fiscal quarter. But already we've received an outpouring of support from folks and fans from really all over the world, but just a few that have come in the last few days. These are the cities from which our listeners are sending in support. Canyon Lake, California. Pickens, South Carolina. I always like to do this when we do the quarterly fundraising drives every now and then, just give you an idea of where people are tuning in from. Palm Beach, Florida, North Wales, Pennsylvania, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually, the guy in Tulsa, he's a great guy, sent us the biggest donation of the third quarter so far. St. Louis, Missouri, Troy, New York, Little Rock, Arkansas, Rockville, Maryland, Houston, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, Tempe, Arizona, Noblesville, Indiana, Easton, Massachusetts, of course, all over the greater Memphis area, as you might expect, but also from places as far away as Canada, Great Britain, Sweden. And if, folks, I want you to be part of a Wing team, and I want to continue to make history together, you and me and the rest of the team here at TPC, we can do it. We've been doing it for almost 11 years now. I want to read a couple of letters, though, that have come in. This comes in from a gentleman who gives every quarter. Callahan, Florida writes, James, look forward to donating. This guy looks forward to donating every quarter. Only wish I could give more, he says. I really appreciate the hard work of the entire TPC gang. Signed, God bless you, and then his name. Hank, I love you, brother. Thank you for that. Got this in, Buddy from Collinwood, Tennessee. Buddy in Collinwood, Tennessee. He donates every quarter as well. Encloses a little help for the next quarter fundraising drive. And he sent it on Confederate stationery. And remember, folks, that we're giving away, we're giving you a Confederate flag. I saw a guy here. I saw two Confederate flags on the way to the radio station tonight, one on a front bumper and one just flying, you know, to this guy's truck, pulled up next to him, rolled down the window, gave him a big thumbs up. He was smiling like the Cheshire Cat, gave me a thumbs up. We didn't even have to say what the thumbs up were about. We both knew. Again, you know, you're certainly in the South. But listen to this. This comes in from Minnesota. Denise from Minnesota writes in her own hand, a nice thank you card with a donation. A Confederate flag? Why, yes, indeed, I'll take one. This will be the first Confederate flag I've ever owned. Thank you, and God bless you, your staff, and your lovely family. Even if you didn't send a flag or any incentives, I would donate anyway. Denise up in Minnesota getting her first Confederate flag. God bless you, dear lady. And folks, this is what it's all about. You know, they're attacking our cultural heritage. They're attacking our identity. I read every day, you know, they're attacking some Confederate monument or whatever. Hey, listen, we're firing back. So you're going to have a twofer here. You can donate, help keep our show on the air, and you're going to get a Confederate flag that belonged to none other than Bill Rowland. Folks, that's an incredible opportunity. They attack a Confederate flag, well, we're going to send out hundreds of them. And you know, display it on your car. Display it from a flagpole in your yard. Frame it in your office. Do whatever, but we got to get these things out there, and we're going to show them that they're not going to take away who we are, and they're not going to take away the symbol that serves as a reminder that we can, one and all, stand in defiance to tyranny, and that's what the Confederate flag is all about, and so much more, of course, but it's just a beautiful flag, and we are engaging in this battle to get more out there and make sure that we do our part in ensuring that this symbol continues to live and thrive, not just in the South, but from all over the country, all over the world, wherever our political cesspool friends are tuning in to from tonight. We welcome you. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Click on the donate button. $100 or more gets you the flag. Let's continue to do this thing together, folks. We're going to have fun tonight. Are you ready to have some fun? When we come back, we're going to dive right into the business. And I look forward to doing it with you. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, one of the things we like to do here on the political cesspool, and other shows, particularly television talk shows, don't do this, we really like to sink our teeth into any given topic and spend a lot of time giving it a full treatment. When you watch some of these cable television shows, you know, it's a couple of minutes at most on any given topic, and then they just roll on. Well, we like to go a little more in depth. And last week, in the third hour, Eddie Miller and I spent the entire hour talking about Kim Davis, the Rowan County, Kentucky clerk who was jailed for upholding the law of Kentucky rather than agreeing with the opinion of the Supreme Court with regards to homosexual marriage. We gave that a pretty good treatment. You know, she's out of jail now. Still a lot of ins and outs to this story. But one that came up that I just have to mention very quickly here, 6 degrees of separation. Have you heard about that? This is the theory that everyone and everything is 6 or fewer steps away, by way of introduction, from any other person in the world, so that a chain of a friend of a friend statements can be made to connect any two people in the world in a maximum of 6 steps. In politics, however, the media has expedited that process to the point where it can now, quote-unquote, link anyone it hates to the political cesspool in 2 steps or less. Last week's example was Donald Trump. You know, we talked about all this, all these articles that had come out saying that I had said nice things about Trump, therefore Trump is linked to the cesspool, and I don't know what their intended purpose of was with that. If anything, it just added more voters to his arsenal. But this week's example is Kim Davis via Michael Perutka. This is what the story reads. A pro-Confederate Maryland Republican is using the Kim Davis legal saga to promote his theocratic agenda. Michael Perutka, who sang Dixie as the national anthem at a secessionist meeting, believes that the United States and state governments are not valid because they have failed to uphold God's law. I agree with him 100%. Perutka said this, and they quoted him for this story. There is no law that grants her, or rather requires her to grant a marriage license to people of the same sex. The court has many opinions, but they are not law. There is an elected official in jail, in my view, for keeping her oath, Perutka said. She's not a lawbreaker. She's a law upholder. Well, you can't have a guy like Michael Perutka saying good things about someone like Kim Davis without trying to sully who he is. Now, they already mentioned that he sang Dixie, which I guess is supposed to be bad. But they went on to say this in a way as their way of dismissing him, that he has been elected. He's on the county commission in Maryland. And they said before he votes on something, he consults the Bible. I mean, can you believe that? How horrible. But they use this as like a way to make you think that he's some bad guy. And then they went on to say that he donated a dinosaur skeleton to the Creation Museum. And then it said that 62-year-old Perutka was the 2004 Constitution Party candidate for president, which attracted the support of Pat Buchanan and the white nationalist radio program, there's that word again, the political cesspool. So, again, he's a bad guy, and because, you know, Pat Buchanan and James Edwards supported him, and because he reads the Bible, and because he sings Dixie, it just goes to show that anybody supporting Kim Davis is just utterly bad, you know, in their opinion. But let me first say, Perutka, one of the most decent and Christian men that I know of, that, you know, he's been on the show a few times. He came on when he was running for president under the Constitution Party banner back in 2004. He helped Eddie, free of charge, get a Constitution class set up at his church. And as for the article itself, you know, these articles, it's an occupational hazard having to deal with these clowns, because we all know that members of the media long ago abandoned integrity. They now see their job as being the enforcers of political correctness. But somebody's got to do it, so we're doing it. And Sam Bushman's doing it, too. And he's
yes,
with us
sir,
right
and make
now.
No mistake, buddy, I'm a Dixie-singing, Bible-slinging American, too, sir.
I know you are, brother. And we have Keith is on his way back from Mississippi. Eddie's out fundraising for St. Jude, trying to hit a deadline before he goes and runs in his next marathon. So we got a skeleton crew tonight. So Sam has come aboard to help me steer the ship. And I know, Sam, you've been following the case of Kim Davis very closely. What's the latest that's occurred? I've been on the road, the latest in the last few days.
All right. Last week on my show, we had on an attorney from the Liberty Council. Works closely with Matt Staver. His name is Jonathan. And Jonathan gave us an update from an attorney's point of view right after Kim got released from jail. Then I had an update from a former sheriff by the name of Denny Pyman, a Kentucky sheriff, one of the ones that stood against Barack Obama's Second Amendment violations. And I've had several people reporting from the ground on this. Past the Salt Ministries, guy that's a friend of ours there. He's a writer for the Liberty Roundtable website. David Dobenmeyer is his name. And so we've had several people reporting from the ground. And the bottom line is the mainstream press isn't giving you the story on this thing, James. Number one, Kim's going to be back to work on Monday. That's first. Kim will be back to work on Monday. So it's very short time until we get the next kind of stage of what's happening here. And a lot of people think, you know what, thank heaven we won. Mike Huckabee and others tried to have a rally there. And Mike Huckabee really speaking out. I don't really go for Mike Huckabee much, but in this case I do. He said, thank God God's work has been done here. I agree with him. We got
yes,
a release.
Wait, Sam.
Sure.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm glad you mentioned Huckabee. You know, listen, we've got to, you know, because we might not be supporting him as president, and we might have some other issues with him, he did the right thing here, and he deserves full credit. I was proud to see him up there, and I was proud to hear what he had to say.
Yep, and he gave the credit to God, which I'm really impressed with. Good for him. That doesn't mean I'm going to vote for him for president. I'm not. I disagree with him on too much. But nevertheless, he's right, and when he's right, we give him credit for doing so. And so that was good. Kim Davis basically said, thank all of you. It's not just me. It's all of us working together. But here's the behind-the-scenes details. I don't know if you know this, but several people that I had on the ground reporting for Liberty Roundtable and Liberty News Radio went to the judge's house. And they literally protested right out in front of the judge's house and said, my friend, as soon as you release Kim, we'll let you out of your house. And they were peaceful. They didn't violate the law, but I'm telling you right now that I think that kind of peaceful, direct activism works. And so the mainstream press isn't telling you that piece, but they reported they were on the ground on Sunday. They went to the judge's house. Then they were gearing up for a much larger rally, and I was getting ready to fly out there too, by the way, to go in front of the judge's house again. And I think he didn't want that second big old appear at his house. The neighbors were starting to freak out. I mean, it was peaceful, but it was very direct that, you know what? And they held signs saying things like this, show us the law, Your Honor. And I think that's the real pivot point in this case, James. What law did Kim break? Show us the law. And as far as it goes, she was held on a, quote, verbal or what they call an oral contempt of court charge, whatever that's supposed to mean. In other words, the judge says yes, you say no. He says, but I'm the judge and you're not. She says, so what? The answer is still no. He says, you're going to jail. She says, why? And he says, because I said so. That's the real crux of what this case is hinging upon right now. And I'm convinced he knew he was on legal shaky ground. And then when the public started to take this thing seriously and literally go to the judge's house and say, my friend, this isn't going to fly, I think he changed his tune. Now I think they're backpedaling. And what we've got, James, in this Kim Davis case is the following. We've got a showdown between Kim and the American people on our side and the judges and the inside government bureaucrats on the other side. And here's the showdown. You went to jail because I said so. It's flimsy evidence, but still I'm the judge. But the real crux of the case is this. The judge released her on one condition. That condition is that Kim Davis does not tamper with any of the marriage licenses that are being released by her staff. Now, that's
so
fine.
What do you think happens on Monday?
Well, that's fine with Kim because she said, I'm not signing any marriage licenses anyway. However, all those marriage licenses, if you compare to the law, are not valid without my signature. So now we got a stalemate, James.
Well, that's better than if this is what passes for progress, give me a stalemate any day. Thank you so much, Sam, for that update. Very informative. And we've got the cherry on the cake. The icing of all icing, Prutka himself addressing a rally there in Rowan County, he says it all, and we're going to let him say it right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. So last week we're in the news linked to Donald Trump. This week we're linked to Kim Davis. It's always something. But we did want to wrap up our coverage of Kim Davis and Sam Bushman so graciously providing me a little support tonight with Eddie and Keith both absent. And before we get to that clip from Michael Perutka, who we were talking about, we've got the whole story on our website, by the way. We've been following this, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Sam's going to wrap it up, and then we're going to go straight to the clip. And then later on in the program tonight, listen, Hulk Hogan, he makes Paula Deen look like, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the European so-called refugee crisis. We got a lot to cover tonight, but we're wrapping up our coverage, at least for now, on Kim Davis, and we're doing it with the best of the best, Sam Bushman. Sam, take it away.
The bottom line here is that Kim Davis and this judge are at a stalemate. The judge says you can't touch anything, Kim. Kim says, so? I wasn't going to touch anything anyway until you guys figure this out. This isn't about me. This is about a conflict between state law and the federal government and my oath of office. And the fact is the Supreme Court does not make laws, my friends. And the judge says, so what? I threw you in jail and you can't do anything because I'm the judge and I said so. Now Kim's out. She comes back to work on Monday and there's a stalemate going on. Now, almost all of our friends were down there. At this event, I mean, look, David Dobenmeyer, Past Assault Ministries, was there. You had Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers there. You had Denny Pyman, former sheriff there. The list goes on and on, including our well-known friend, Michael Perutka, doing a great job. And he breaks it down just about as well as anyone could. But understand this. The point being made by our side is, Your Honor, show us the law. Because the court does not make laws. And if there's no law, then it's called pretend legislation. And that's really the crux of this debate. And I'm telling you right now, the judge is on very, very flimsy ground at this point. Here's Michael Perutka to give you the details. The mainstream press wanted you to believe no one's there, but that's a lie too.
Good morning. My name is Michael Anthony Perutka, P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A. As Cal told me, I have very little time here, so let me get right to it. Others today here will make the moral argument for you. But today, briefly, I happen to also be an attorney. Please don't hold that against me as I proceed. But I'm going to make the legal argument, a legal argument that you probably haven't heard. I've come to stand alongside Kim Davis, as Cal mentioned. I'm also a local elected official in Annapolis, Maryland. I, just like the jailer here, just like the sheriff, just like the mayor, are elected officials here. Kim Davis, Clerk Kim Davis, has given all believers a lesson in faithfulness and in perseverance. Now, here's the other point I want you to think about. Kim Davis is also giving the entire country a civics lesson. Because she knows what federal judges either don't know or don't care to recognize. And that is that God is the source and the author of law and government, and that any purported law that is not harmonious with his word can't be law and is not law. As our founders pointed out in the Declaration of Independence, there is an almighty God. Our rights, indeed all law, come from him. And the purpose of civil government is to protect our rights, our God-given rights, not to attack them. This is our history. This is our heritage. So please, let's not miss the civics lesson here. Kim Davis is willing to sit in jail to teach this lesson. So please, in the next few minutes, you're going to hear the moral lesson, but let me please give you for a minute a legal argument that you're probably not going to hear, although Mike Huckabee made it very well. Here's the lesson. There is no law that requires her to grant a marriage license to people of the same sex. Let me ask, as she has asked, where is the law? What legislature voted for it? What executive signed it? What are its terms? What does it say? Where is it written? Indeed, there is no law. Now, if you have an answer to that, you'll hear this answer. You'll say the answer to this question is that you have to refer to the opinion of a court. Well, courts, ladies and gentlemen, have had many opinions. You can tune in tomorrow and the day after, and they will have more and more opinions that probably frequently contradict the one before. But they are not law. They are, as it says at the top of the page, opinions. They are not law. Courts don't make law. Courts don't make law. If you want to know more about this argument, please refer to this pamphlet that's being handed out. Please refer to this website, theamericanview.com. I'm affiliated with a group called the Institute on the Constitution. We make these arguments all the time, and we have courses of study that make these arguments and help you to make these arguments, articulate these arguments. But for proof of the fact that courts don't make law, let me quote the very first sentence of the United States Constitution. The very first sentence of the United States Constitution after the preamble, Article 1, Section 1, says this. All, let me stop there. What does all mean? Thank you. All legislative power herein granted is vested in a Congress, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. All legislative authority, that is, I'll say all lawmaking power, is vested in the Congress. So if all, ladies and gentlemen, please do the math. If all legislative power, all lawmaking power is vested in Congress, how much is left over for the court? There's your legal argument that courts don't make law. Legislatures make law. So let me just ask then, if there is a law that requires the clerk of this county to issue a license in this case, we ask, please show it to us. And if you can't show it to us, then free Kim Davis.
Nobody there, huh?
If you can't show it to us, then free the elected county clerk who has broken no law. You will hear people on the TV, you will hear talking heads, you will hear people say, yeah, well, she broke the law, but so did Obama, and so did the city of San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. Don't buy that argument. They have broken the law. She has broken no law. And therefore, respectfully, I speak to the elected representatives that the mayor is here today. Your jailer here in this county is an elected representative. I speak to these elected representatives, and I say, men, gentlemen, if there is no law, you don't have to listen to the whim of a federal judge. There is no law. You have the authority to free Kim Davis, please. Kim Davis has no requirement set upon her to approve of state-sanctioned sin. There is no such requirement. Kim Davis is a law abider. She has acted lawfully. Once again, I say, and I ask you to remember, please make this appeal to the local representatives. They don't have to listen to a federal judge. Judges don't make law, so there's nothing for them to enforce by keeping Kim Davis in jail. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis.
And James, I want to add to Michael Prutka's point, not only do they not have to follow a judge under pretend legislation of the color of law, but their oath of office demand their adherence to the supreme law and their rejection of the color of law. They have an obligation by their oath to defend Kim Davis. It's not a, we think you should. It's a, your oath requires you to, my friends.
You know, Sam, I was talking, I mentioned a moment ago, had lunch. I was talking to this couple about all matter of things. This particular topic came up, this issue of Kim Davis. And, of course, you know, they were in complete agreement and befuddlement that, you know, what Michael Prutka said, and by the way, it would take a guy who's friends with Sam Bushman and has been a guest on my program to say something that sensible. And obviously, that's a political cesspool guy. Michael Prutka, what a guy. I mean, but he just completely, in, what, 6 minutes, obliterated the whole argument. I mean, there's no way you can come back from that. You know, and you've got all of these governors and county officials and state legislatures and Congress and the president. I mean, everybody's going along with the Supreme Court as if what they write is God's holy writ. It's insane. It's an opinion. They don't write law. And nobody understands that. But what, me, you, and Peruka, Sam? I mean, what's going on here?
Before we get to Scoop Stanton in seconds, right on the next segment, though, let's talk about who did not stand up for a quick second. Because they're legion, James.
All right, let's do it.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're going to get to Scoop in literally 30 seconds. Final word on this Kim Davis thing, I promise. Pat Buchanan wrote an article, Kim Davis versus Judicial Tyranny. We're going to post the entire piece to thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday. But first, I just want to read one excerpt, literally two sentences. This is what Pat writes. Davis refused to provide marriage licenses to homosexual couples lined up at her clerk's office, and she was sent to jail for 5 days by a federal judge for contempt of court. Good for her.
That's not true, though. It was not for contempt of court. It was for a oral refusal to obey his edict.
All right. Point taken. But Pat writes, good for her. We need more like her. I agree 100%. Pat concludes, almost all of the civil and uncivil disobedience of the last half century, from campus uprisings to urban riots to political protests, have come from the left. But as anti-Christian secularism becomes ascendant, dominant, and imperious, rumbles are coming from the right. Sam, we need more of that.
Amen to that. We need more of it. Pat Buchanan is absolutely on target. So is Michael Perutka. But I want to mention one last point about who would not stand up, who refused to do, in my opinion, their duty. They're derelict in their duty, and they should be impeached. They should be recalled. They should be voted out. All of the above, depending on the jurisdiction and the circumstances for each that I'm going to speak of. But look, the governor refused to call a special session. The state legislators refused to demand the governor call a session. The federal government and the members of Congress refused to stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not the judge's law to make, it's ours. Rand Paul is from Kentucky. He virtually said, oh, we ought to get government out of marriage, but he didn't do anything. Mike Huckabee here, and here. Ted Cruz are the only two that had the guts to go there and to point to God and the solutions. But the final point is, even the jailer didn't stand up. The sheriff didn't stand up. The county commission didn't stand up. The mayor didn't stand up. The amount of Americans that are put in governmental positions or elected or appointed who did not stand up are legion. And we, the American people, if we sit idly by, I'm telling you, we've crossed the Rubicon when we force Kim Davis to go directly against her conscience by an edict of a judge who has no authority. There is no law. And when we allow that to stand, if we as the American people don't absolutely reject this notion, we've crossed the Rubicon, and you're going to see Christians persecuted all over this land, James, like you've never seen before.
Well, as we've said, that may be a tempering that they need, that we need. I say they. I am a Christian, but I mean, I'm not talking about people like us, Sam, who are in the fires every week, every day, really. The church needs to be persecuted. I feel strongly about that. All right, let's go to Baltimore, or to Scoop Stanton, who is close enough to Baltimore, but he's going to talk about injustice in Baltimore. Scoop, it's your segment. Take it away, my friend. And thank you so much, Sam.
No problem. Good evening, James, Sam, and the rest of the successful family. Well, injustice occurred again in the city of Baltimore. Baltimore City Circuit Court Judge Barry Williams denied a motion of a change of venue for the six officers involved in the death of Freddie Gray. Quote from Judge Williams, the citizens of Baltimore are not monolithic. They can think for themselves, unquote. Now, realize this. The people of the city of Baltimore have seen firsthand their city burn to the ground. They've seen cops in riot gear. They've seen martial law. They were affected by martial law. Not to mention, with the demographics of Baltimore City, it would many Baltimore citizens have family members and friends that have been through the criminal justice system, or they themselves went through the criminal justice system. And therefore, if the six officers were to have a jury trial, the courts in Baltimore City would have to get at least 72 jurors, not to mention many, many other alternate jurors, for the simple fact that things happen and you have to excuse jurors. Now, if the officers choose to have a bench trial where the judge makes a final decision on guilt or innocence, again, knowing the facts of Baltimore City, how the justice system in that town, like New York and other, in D.C. and other big cities, is a revolving door, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a very unfair trial, as the justice system in Baltimore City is against the men and women in blue. Now, who is this circuit court judge, Barry Williams? Well, he's not Greg Brady on the Brady Bunch. Okay? Judge Williams was a previously state attorney or district attorney for Baltimore City. And then, don't drive and talk at the same time. Okay, he was a, besides a Baltimore Circuit Court judge, he was also special litigation counsel for the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Justice Department from 2002 to 2005. He was also a trial attorney in the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice from 1997 to 2002. So I would say that Mr. Williams is not a friend of police. Now, this is the same judge that started bad case law with these six officers that ruled that State Attorney Marilyn Mosby wouldn't have to recuse herself from the trials of the officers, despite the fact that she asked the Baltimore Police Department to crack down on drug dealers such as Freddie Gray, and then Gray got arrested, not to mention her inflammatory speech against police officers, including No Justice, No Peace. Also, that Marilyn Mosby was also has a personal connection to the Gray family attorney, Bill Murphy. Mr. Murphy gave the state attorney $5,000 in campaign contributions, and Mr. Murphy was part of her transition team. So I think there's a major conflict of interest. Now, the good news in all this is that the net mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, is not running for re-election. She was a genius who told the cops to stand down and let Baltimore burn as it is just property. And she fired the chief of police. Now, some bad news also earlier this week is that the Baltimore City Council voted for and approved a payment to the families of Freddie Gray for $6,400,000. In layman's terms, the city of Baltimore awarded the mother and father of Freddie Gray for being pissed poor parents. And finally, we still have the t-shirt campaign going on. Please go to booster.com/stop/the/top/killings. So far, we sold one shirt. Believe me, folks, these shirts you don't want to miss. On the front, it simply says, stop the cop killings, support the police. And only $25 for the shirt, American-made shirts, $5 shipping and handling. Please, support the political cesspool, support the men and women in blue, and buy the shirts. James, back to you.
Well, some of that's my fault. I've been traveling, and Scoop took the initiative on his own accord to start this little campaign. And I'm appreciative of that. We haven't yet put it on the website or sent it out to the email list. We can move some units. Yeah, let me get it plugged into the pipeline here, and we'll get that done. But Scoop, thank you of course for the commentary. I'm glad you actually covered a lot of things that were on my notes, since I knew we were going to be shifting radically from Rowan County, Kentucky, to Baltimore. This thing about that payment. You know, it's been reported on the news that the city of Baltimore has settled with the family of Freddie Gray. That's not true. They didn't even sue. They just arbitrarily gave them $6.4 million. This was not something that a jury demanded. This was something. So I, you know, and how do you come to that number specifically? I guess $6.3 million wasn't enough, but $6.5 million was too much. You know, $6.4 million for what? I mean, we don't even know if they did anything wrong. You know, there hasn't been a trial yet, but there will be, as Scoop mentioned. I mean, this is going to be the equivalent of a 2015 lynch mob. You know, they really wanted blood with Darren Wilson. Thank God justice was served, and the grand jury chose not to press the issue further. You know, George Zimmerman may be a scumbag, but, you know, he was completely in the right with regard to Trayvon Martin, and thankfully he was acquitted. You know, the rule of law prevailed, evidence, facts, all of that stuff prevailed through the justice system as it was intended to do. But I have a bad feeling that when these police officers who as far as we know, have done no wrong yet. There's been no evidence presented. You know, it hasn't moved to a courtroom yet. The jury of their peers are going to be the kind of people, I guarantee you, that went out there and looted and burned and pillaged and rioted in these cities. There's going to be no justice there if they get that contingent. And if they're going to be drawing from a representative sampling of the city of Baltimore, the odds are good that they will get those type of people. I was talking about that again today, too. I mean, what kind of a country lets these thugs absolutely, you know, behave that way? They should have been put down instantly and harshly. You know, and that kind of insurrection. I believe that the law enforcement has the right to go in there and just put them down. But no, you know, we send Eric Holder out to these funerals. We treat them as if they are totally in the right. It's sick. It's disgusting. We live in a disgusting country. Scoop, thank you, brother. Love you. We'll be back in the second hour. Wait till you hear what Hulk Hogan has done, ladies and gentlemen. If that didn't disgust you, wait. We've got a lot more disgust coming in the political cesspool.
The Liberty News Radio Network.